Come on, man, we need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll break down all that is happening with respect to the NFL free agent market as well as the New York Giants. And we want to remind fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports free to play. So the franchise tag were handed out yesterday. We'll get into that and how that impacts the market and how that may impact some of the Giants' pending free agents over the next 60 minutes. We'll also get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter if you can't get to the phone. No major surprises, Anita, when you look over the players that were given the franchise tag. The majority of them, by the way, were the non-exclusive franchise tag. Now, what that means is they could go out and negotiate with other teams. The team, though, has the right to match any offer they receive, and if they choose to pass, then that team receives two first-round picks. That's why it's very rare for a player that's given the non-exclusive franchise tag to actually move on to another team. Von Miller was given the exclusive franchise tag. He can't negotiate with anybody. And then Olivier Vernon from the Miami Dolphins, which was somewhat of a surprise, he was given the transition tag. Now, the transition tag means he could go out and negotiate with others, but the Dolphins do not have the right to get anything in return if they're unwilling to match an offer. So Vernon has more flexibility than everybody else.
That's the interesting one, the fact that that's what he was tagged with the Miami Dolphins. So in the Miami Dolphins, you're looking at Cameron Wake, who is a little bit up there in age. You know, I think Vernon is the defensive lineman they want to keep on the roster. So pretty much what they're saying is, go ahead, test the free agent waters. Let's see what your value is there. But if we want to match it, we can. So that's going to be really intriguing to see what Mike Tannenbaum does with the Dolphins when it comes to Vernon.
Vernon's tag is worth just over $12.7 million, just to at least put that out there in terms of what maybe he's looking for. I'm sure if he's looking for a long-term deal, he may be looking for more money. It's no surprise Von Miller, Mo Wilkerson were given the tags as well. So the top pass rushers, if you evaluate the market, we have to go into the assumption they're likely going to be off the board, which now means if you're the Giants, Anita, and you're looking to obviously improve the pass rush, you have JPP, you have Robert Ayers as your internal options. Outside of that, you know, I brought up the pending free agents on the defensive line. I want to throw out a few names that are intriguing. I think number one, Nick Fairley, who was with the Los Angeles Rams last season. You know, he's still at the age where there's a lot of upside there. And I know he plays defensive tackle. He's not necessarily an end. But if you look at his stats, he gets a lot of pressure at that defensive tackle spot. And, you know, part of getting pressure and sacks is more so what you get from the interior as opposed to what you get from the outside.
Yeah, when you talk to quarterbacks, you know, a lot of times they say what really makes them uneasy is when they're getting bull rushed from the interior of the line. Yeah, you want that J.J. Watt type of guy who's going to come around on the edge, knock the ball loose, recover fumbles, get those sacks like we saw Von Miller do against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. But I mean, against Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game. But nonetheless, when you talk to quarterbacks, what really rattles their cage is when you have those really strong defensive linemen in the center of the line that are causing that pressure and not allowing that pocket to develop for them to step into. So definitely, you know, there's a lot of value there as well.
And Fairley has been effective in terms of forcing that pocket to collapse, and he's gotten good interior pressure. And if you look at what Jonathan Hankins did very early in his career, you know, he was able to pile up seven sacks. The numbers dipped a little bit last season, and then he got hurt. But keep in mind, you know, everybody in India talks about JPP and Robert Ayers hitting the free agent market. Let's not forget, Colin Jenkins is a free agent, as is Marcus Kuhn. So right now, with that question mark dangling out there, the Giants could very well need to address the defensive tackle spot, too, depending on how free agency plays out. So it's not just so much you're looking for a defensive end. I think the defensive tackle, the defensive line overall, especially if they want to run maybe a NASCAR package again with Spags, you know, you want to be able to have a volume You want to have numbers at that position. So it's not so much just the edge rushers. I think the defensive tackle is going to be a spot to hone in on, especially if they're the Giants.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I'm sure that there are a number of defensive players that are going to be available. And I mean, look, I've got the list here, like, alone. Here are your defensive ends. Here are your defensive tackles that are available in free agency. And I'm sure that there are some players here that the Giants scouting department have watched all season long and feel like, wow, you know what, this would be a great guy who can fit into the Giants system and the defense that Spags is going to put together and might see a lot more productivity here in New York with the Giants than maybe they did on a respective team that they're coming from. So, you know, keep that in mind. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, John and I, we talked about it live from the Combine. This really isn't a sexy free agent class. B, those that are sexy are the ones that we saw get tagged yesterday. So now you're looking at the second tier players that are kind of coming into their own. You know, they're still developing. They're still growing in the NFL. How will they fit in this system? How will they be utilized? But then again, I still think like a Malik Jackson, for example, you know, that's a guy that I think could be very like on the top of the list for the Giants to potentially go after, especially the way that he played for the Denver Broncos. But, you know, there, I think there are some third tier guys that their names aren't household names, Lance, you know, and we might not be privy to them because, you know, we're not really, you know, each Sunday, of course, you know, we're watching certain games. You know, maybe these are guys, again, that can fit the system better than the system that they're in right now. And maybe they're growing, developing talent that are eventually going to become household names.
Well, more often than not, winning free agency doesn't necessarily mean bringing in all big names. I think we've seen that track record in how free agency has played out. So I agree with you. Sometimes it's those, you know, guys that fall under the radar that usually probably help your team more so than the big heavy contract. And Dominican Sue, for example, went to the Miami Dolphins last season and, you know, had an okay season, but did that ultimately get him to the postseason? No. And you look at some other teams that have made some splashes in the past and it hasn't always necessarily translated to a Super Bowl. You look at the Denver Broncos. See, the Broncos brought in a lot of big names, I would argue, Anita, but they did it progressively. It wasn't one free agent offseason where they went out and they got everybody. They brought them in slowly, whether it be TJ Ward, whether it be DeMarcus Ware, and so forth, as opposed to one-shot deals. So, you know, I think it's important for you to find, like you said, those complementary pieces that provide depth more so than worried about getting that big star that you know is going to be part of your starting 11, but may not necessarily single-handedly resurrect the outcome of your team.
I understand, and you know, yes, it was a process for the Denver Broncos, but I think the Giants, unfortunately, are in a different situation because how many years do you have Eli Manning? You know, I feel the Giants are in a different situation where I think it's win now.
Well, they had Peyton Manning with the Broncos, which is a small window too.
Yeah, but I'm saying like with the Giants though, I mean you're looking at maybe a 3-year window where you're going to get the best productivity from Eli Manning. Giants fans want to win now with Eli Manning because listen, we see it across the board in the NFL. Heck, when Kirk Cousins is getting paid $19 million, I mean that's to me that screams there's just a lack of really good quarterbacks. There's only 32 that play in the world in the NFL, and there's a really big lack. If you're no disrespect to Kirk Cousins, but, you know, yet they had to tag him. You know, is he worth $19 million a year? With all due respect, I don't think so. So, you know, this is a situation where, you know, Giants, if you want to win in this Eli Manning era, and I'm saying 3 years, who knows? I mean, look, Tom Brady said he wants to play till he's, what, 45 or something like that, right? Didn't he just sign a two-year
extension? In the mid-40s, yeah. He just signed a new deal.
So, and Eli, you know, God bless, knock on wood, he's been able to stay healthy. Who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe I'm underestimating. Maybe we're looking at 5 years. But I still think you never know. And with Eli Manning, having that quarterback with this organization, I think it's win now. I don't think it's, all right, well, you know, let's build this season. I think it's win now, especially with the amount of money that the Giants have to spend in free agency and where they sit with the draft. They get a really good player at 10. This draft is really, really deep when it comes to defensive players. I mean, really deep. The Giants are in a good position right now.
Well, I think every team enters the offseason win-now mentality, given the fact that there's so much parity in the league. You can really tend to turn things around quickly. I'm just looking at it from the perspective going out for the home run and bringing in every big-name commodity doesn't necessarily always get you to the position where you can win immediately. You have to be smart in terms of the players that you invest in. And I think this is going to be a free agent market based on what we saw with who received the tags and so forth that you're going to have to find maybe the non-household names if you truly want to turn your team around and you want to build depth, as opposed to figuring, hey, I'm going to go out and get Von Miller, I'm going to go out and get Muhammad Wilkerson, considering that's not feasible right now based on some of the other decisions that teams made.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. So Muhammad Wilkerson was tagged. But there's a lot of talk, as again, John and I were in Indianapolis for quite a few days, and there was some talk that possibly the Jets might tag and trade Mo Wilkerson. Now, what would they want to get for him? I think a first-round draft pick.
Even more than that.
You know, but at what place? Let's say, hypothetically speaking, for the Giants, you know, a number 10 first-round draft pick? I think that's really asking a lot. Some people might disagree with me. But that's to me, that's a very intriguing situation, because there is some talk that it's going to be a tag and a potential trade for Mo Wilkerson. I mean, this is a guy that I think is number two behind J.J. Watt when it comes to defensive ends.
Well, but the thing with him is, not only do you have to give up assets for him, then you also need to take on that contract. So, you know, it's similar to what you would do with the transition tag or something like that, or another type of tag where you have to give up some type of commodity. So I think you need to weigh, yes, there's an upside for the player, but is he worth also parting ways with valuable draft picks, which, at least from the Giants' perspective, you need, because you're looking for not necessarily impactful players just this year, but you're also looking to stock up for future years. So I think that's something you got to weigh, especially if you're talking about parting ways with a first overall pick or something like that. It's one thing if you're going to give up a fourth rounder or a fifth rounder. It's another thing if you have to give up a first and a second rounder. Will one player like that totally change how your defense operates and so forth? Those are the type of questions I think you need to ask under those circumstances.
I mean, I would imagine that there are some Giants fans out there that would be willing to give up their first-round draft pick for Mo.
I think it's going to cost more, though, than just a first-round pick.
What, like a first and a fourth?
I think it could be, who knows? I mean, listen, if you're the Jets right now, I think you could ask as much as you want, and then you wait to see how the market plays out. But if you're the Jets, if indeed you do want to trade him, and I heard that speculation too, I would ask extremely high now, and then as the market changes and then teams don't get the pass rushers they need, you know, then obviously you change your approach and so forth. But I don't think they're going to give him up for just maybe one pick. I think they want probably an attractive package from that standpoint. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. Talking about free agency. March 7th is the first day that teams can start negotiating with pending free agents. March 9th is when the league year starts at 4 p.m. Eastern, and that's when they can actually sign on the dotted line. So you're going to have that 2.5-day period where negotiations can take place. That's why once 4 p.m. Eastern hits on March 9th, you see a lot of deals announced, because most of the heavy lifting was done in the days prior. And how these franchise tags will obviously impact the market, that's what we're getting into here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's open up the phone lines. We got John in Virginia Beach. John, what's happening?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Doing well, John. How's everything with you?
Listen, I have a question. I listen to you guys all the time, but when you talk about getting an offensive lineman through free agency, I hardly hear you guys mention about Brett Jones. I mean, the kid was CFL Rookie of the Year, CFL Offensive Lineman of the Year. How about putting him in the equation and maybe putting him at guard?
Well, he did play both of those positions prior to coming to the NFL. He had a decent career in the CFL, where he was one of the top offensive linemen. A lot's going to depend on, though, how he develops as a player in the offseason, in workouts and so forth. Mm-hmm. Because keep in mind, he had limited activity last year. He was put on IR.
Correct.
So he wasn't active, and he wasn't really taking part in many of the workouts and so forth. So, you know, this is really the equivalent of his rookie campaign, John, as opposed to saying he's coming into his second year in the NFL.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that's what I wanted to know. Thanks for answering my question.
You got it, John. Appreciate the phone call.
And his name escapes me right now, but offensive lineman for the Ravens, that's a free agent.
Which position are we talking about?
Offensive guard, Osima.
Let me look up the list here. I got the offensive lineman.
Okay. There is really a lot of talk, a lot of chatter about him while we were in Indianapolis. Offensive guard for the Ravens.
I know the Ravens have two key free agents. I believe he's one of them, and that's part of the reason why they just gave Joe Flacco a new deal. Yeah, Osemele, you're talking about.
Osemele, that was
yeah.
it? That was
correct.
It.
He's one of the key free agents that they have.
A lot of talk about him. Spoke to a few people who do cover the Baltimore Ravens. They spoke really highly of him. It's an unfortunate situation for the Ravens because they've spent so much money in Joe Flacco. They're hoping that he redoes his deal. Dennis Pitta, who's been dealing with hip issues, they put a lot of money in Yanda.
He's a tackle, keep in mind.
I'm trying to think who else.
Well, they have a lot of guys. They didn't have much cap space. I mean, the Ravens had about $2 million. That's why they just redid Flacco's deal, and they also gave the tag to their kicker.
By the way. Maybe he just plays both.
Well, I mean, he may have both.
He plays guard for the Ravens.
He's also with a tackle background, so there's some versatility there. If you were to bring somebody like that in, I think you could use him at a variety of different positions. I think that's something to keep in mind. And versatility is something that obviously the Giants weigh heavily on.
But in regard to free agency and offensive linemen and the buzz, to me, he has the most buzz surrounding him right now.
That's why I think Baltimore, like I said, went to get some more cap space because they want to re-sign him as well as some of their other key free agents. We got Marcus in Philadelphia. Marcus, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing well, Marcus.
That's good. Just a couple things. In reference to the Muhammad Wilkerson thing, I don't know if I'd be willing to give up a first-round pick for this guy. I'm one of those guys. I look at the combine from front to end ever since it's been coming on TV. This has to be the deepest defensive line draft I think I've ever seen. I mean, you have tackles that actually have a first round grade that looks like they're going to maybe possibly can go in the third round. So I would rather get a young guy, plug him in, and go that route. So I wouldn't be willing to give up a number one pick, and then you'll probably have to give up maybe a 3 or 4. We have too many holes to give up picks. So that's that. As far as the Olivier Vernon thing, we can't officially begin talking to him until, is it Saturday, and then the contracts come across, is it Tuesday?
Monday, March 7th.
It's the 7th and the 8th.
Yeah, those are the 2 days.
The 7th and the 8th, they can start talking with agents and whatnot. It's kind of this, you know, turn your head the other way, not going to pay attention, talk with the agents, and then the 9th is when really all heck breaks loose.
Okay. Now, the reason I bring that up is I see Mario Williams was released yesterday. Do you guys think we should possibly bring him in? I mean, this is my thing. If we wait and wait for Olivier Vernon and Mario Williams signs with somebody else, and then Miami, so let's say we throw him an offer, whatever the number is, and Miami decides to match that offer, then what are we left with? I mean, we could re-sign JPP, we could re-sign Ayers, but then what other premier pass rushers are really out there that we can look at? I mean, I guess we would have to hope that somebody would cut a good pass rusher, which that's not really happening. I mean, Mario Williams was only cut for cap reasons.
So, well, you know, it's interesting. So I was watching Mike and Mike this morning, and I apologize. Is it Joe Bannon, I think, was on with them this morning?
Joe Banner? You mean
Joe Banner.
Former NFL executive?
Yeah, do you watch Mike and Mike?
I didn't watch it today.
Okay.
I mean, I know of the program.
Well, he was on, and Mario Williams came up, and he said if it's him, he would go after him right away. He'd go after him immediately. That's the kind of guy that he would target. But then, you know, we had Mark Dominic on our show while we were out in the combine, and Mark Dominic says you have to really take a look and say, okay, why was this guy not brought back? Why wasn't even the opportunity for a team like the Bills to really go in and try to negotiate a new deal? Why is this team letting him go? And there's some big question marks in regard to Mario Williams in regard to what happened in the locker room last year. Him being a teammate, a role player on that defense, buying into Rex Ryan's system. So there's some red flags when it comes to Mario Williams. But again, there's mixed reviews. There's a number of former general managers that are now analysts on ESPN that are saying I'd go after him in a heartbeat, and then there's others that are saying red flag, slow your roll. So,
he seems to be a player that I think could use a different change of scenery, because I don't think he was very happy with the scheme when Rex Ryan took over in Buffalo. You also have to keep in mind, you know, he's on the opposite end of 30 as opposed to some of the other young pass rushers on the market. I think a lot of it is going to dictate money-wise, you know, where he ultimately lands. But, I mean, to get back to your point, Marcus, Mario Williams, you could sign him today, because he was already cut loose. The other free agents, you have to wait till March 7th to do some wheeling and dealing because of their contracts expiring at a specific time.
Right, and that's my thing. I mean, let's say I'll just throw any team, but that team from the NFC West, any team, decides to sign him, say, Friday, and then, you know, it's time for us to sign, and we go at the Olivier Vernon, and he, you know, Miami matches the deal that we offer him, then what are we left with? Like, we're kind of screwed. So, I mean, that's my thing. I just have two more quick things that I'll get.
Well, Marcus, let me just piggyback off of your point, and then I'll let you continue. I mean, once again, as we were talking at the beginning of the show, don't get so much caught up in the household names. I think there's some other potential defensive pass rushers, defensive tackles that are still going to be out there beyond the Mario Williams and the Olivier Vernons. And here's the other thing about Vernon to keep in mind. If you were to give an offer to Olivier Vernon, the team has 5 days to match that. So Miami could sit back and milk those 5 days, which means the money you put aside for Olivier Vernon, you can't then turn around and offer that to somebody else. You know, it's similar in the NBA, where they have a period where if you offer an offer sheet, until that other team determines whether or not they want to match, that money's locked up. So that's another reason why I think Vernon may not be nearly as attractive as other players, because you have to be willing to tie up that amount of money for 5 days. That may turn off some teams.
I got you. Just one more thing. A player that I actually was just reading about this morning, Tahir Whitehead from Detroit.
Detroit, the Lions, yeah.
Right. I read that he can play the Sam, the Mike, and the Will linebacker. So what do you guys think about him? I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you guys for taking my call.
You got it, Marcus. Appreciate you weighing in. Tahir Whitehead, I like the Lions linebackers overall. DeAndre Levy, who is a compliment to him, got hurt this past season. Dave, it looks like we lost the phone call there. If we could bring down the dial tone, Dave. We got a dial tone on there. Perfect. Appreciate it. In terms of Tahir Whitehead, he's a versatile linebacker, as Marcus just alluded to, and they've gotten really good production out of that group. So, I mean, he would be certainly somebody attractive to at least consider. I'm sure, though, the Lions are going to want to try to retain him as well, because he's been a big part of their defense, and he's a young guy as well.
Yeah, and just to go back to Mario Williams, I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is a guy that, you know, teams have as their second tier or their third tier guy to go after if certain other guys that they really covet fall by the wayside.
Well, and that's why it's all about how the market plays out. I mean, that's the big thing. I think the way the conversation is occurring today is going to drastically change in a few hours, depending on the rumors and so forth and everything else. We got Phil in Montclair on the line. Phil, what's happening?
How you guys doing today?
Doing well, Phil. How's everything with you?
All right. I just had a few points, especially on this Olivier Vernon thing and JPP. I see a lot of reports saying, you know, it depends on what the Giants do with Ayers and JPP. And I look at it like, well, we had these guys the last few years, and we've been had one of our worst defenses in a long time. And I think we need more than just them. So I think we sit back and wait. It only hurts us more than anything. I think we got to go and be aggressive and get the guys that we need on top of JPP and or Ayers.
Yeah, I anticipate the Giants are going to do that. But I think they'd like to keep JPP. I think they'd like to keep Ayers on top of the other you know, top-name free agents that they're going to go after.
And if you go back to last season, because I was looking over how the Giants dealt with free agency, you know, they brought in those five guys within the span of 2 days to start free agency. And then on top of that, they wound up re-signing a few of their own also within 2 or 3 days of the start of free agency. So based on the track record, I'm sure the Giants have a set list, a number of guys they're going to be interested. They're going to start talking to guys, like I said, March 7th, because they have the opportunity to chat with the agents. So they're going to know, and they're going to get an idea of what the market's going to be like by the time the clock strikes 4 p.m. Eastern on March 9th. So, I mean, all teams have to be aggressive to a certain point, because there's going to be a flurry of signings come day one, Phil. It's not as if anybody's in the position where they can really sit back. If you want a guy, you're going to start negotiating with them. I mean, that's just the economics of the NFL.
You know, I might be a minority here, but I'd rather give that type of money to Malik Jackson than Olivier Vernon. I think if JPP's hand was 100%, he's two times better than that guy Vernon. And the Giants barely wanted to give him that type of money. So I don't think Vernon is worth that money. But I think if we could get Malik Jackson and he could have that pass rush ability from the tackle position, that'd be more valuable than Vernon.
Well, Vernon and Malik Jackson, they're both in an age where there's a lot of upside. Jackson's only 26. Vernon's been very good in terms of piling up the sacks. I think they're both two quality pass rushers. It's just a matter of the economics. Remember, Malik Jackson's stock is very high because he's coming off a Super Bowl victory, and he had an impactful play in that game against the Panthers. So I'm sure a lot of teams that are in need of a pass rush boost, they're going to look his way. And Vernon, as I mentioned, going back to my prior comments, I wonder, though, if you got to lock up money for about 5 days, and the Dolphins are going to be in no rush to match it, considering they want to hold on to him. I don't know how attractive he is based on the economics there.
Right. Let me ask you guys' opinion on something real quick. I hear Jerry Reese saying, you know, he always says that we take the best player available and not need. But say that, you know, a guy like Stanley, the tackle from Notre Dame, is out there, or Hargraves is there. Would the Giants pick one of those two?
Well, once again, I mean, I think it really depends on how free agency plays out, because free agency is going to dictate the needs when the draft comes along. It's hard to speculate right now. If you address a major need in free agency and you add even depth to that position, perhaps the need to go after that position in the draft changes. I think if you go about your business in free agency where you stock up the roster, then perhaps you give yourself greater flexibility to go after the best player available when it comes to the draft. But we're not going to know enough until we see the first few days of free agency.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying because, like, they say that this guy Hargraves is, like, you know, one of the top two cornerbacks. He could be a franchise cornerback. I figure, like, you could never have enough cornerbacks. Like, that's a key position in the NFL in today's game. So I figure, like, if we did go and re-sign Prince, or we let him go and get somebody else, if a guy like that's there, do you just get him just because he's something that you need, is a necessity in cornerback, because you never have enough, like I said.
Not sure exactly. Again, you know, the Giants aren't going to show their hand in regard to how they have him graded. I will share this with you. Today, ESPN came out with their third projection of the 31 first-round picks coming out.
Right.
Obviously, Tennessee with the offensive line tussle. The Cleveland Browns, not sure if they're going to go Carson Wentz or Goff. DeForest Buckner, who really impressed a lot of people, not only in the Senior Bowl, but also in the Combine. They have him going to San Diego at 3, Dallas taking Joey Bosa, the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Jalen Ramsey.
The safety.
The safety, our corner. A lot of people are saying that, you know, he more than likely will play corner, but yes, played
well,
safety.
Well, for Dallas, I think he'd play
safety at FSU.
Considering that's their need.
The Ravens with an offensive lineman. San Francisco possibly taking a quarterback. The Dolphins taking Miles Jack, who at 8 would be a steal. Miles Jack, in my opinion, was the star of the combine.
Right.
And then they have the Bucks taking Hargraves at 9. And then this is interesting, and this is something that John and I talked about while we were out there. And Ezekiel Elliott at 10 with the Giants. Now, do I think the Giants take a running back at 10? No. But at 10, will Elliott be the best player on the board? A lot of people feel he will be. And will the Giants get some calls to see if maybe there'll be a team that's willing to trade up because they want that running back so badly? That's going to be interesting. But right now, again, this came out today. Giants at 10. ESPN has them taking Ezekiel Elliott. I don't believe that that's how it will pan out. But him being on the board at 10, I think the Giants get some interesting phone calls.
Absolutely. I mean, depending on his stock. What you got, Phil? I'm sorry. Did we lose Phil? We lost Phil. All right, Phil. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in.
Now, really quick. Now, some defensive linemen that really have been talked a lot very highly. Shaq Lawson. Okay. Eli Apple, for example. Darren Lee, linebacker from Ohio State. Really impressed a lot of people at the combine. Noah Spence is an interesting player as well. A lot of people feel he's a top 10 pick, but because of off-the-field issues, such a gamble to draft him, they have him going to the Jets here at 20. But that could be a guy that, you know, his coming off the edge, he's just so explosive, and maybe you do take a gamble on him. You know, obviously only time will tell. But just to name a few guys that they have going past 10.
Well, and Spence has really fluctuated from some of the mock drafts I've seen. I've seen him go in the top 10. I've seen him go later in the first round. It just goes to show you, every day it tends to evolve and change. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadows. So glad you could join us for Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter as well. Rolando is in Flushing Meadows. Rolando, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. How you doing?
Doing well. How's everything with you?
How you doing, Anita?
All right. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, well, you did a great job at the combine. I really appreciate you and John and the questions you were asking most of these scouts and, you know, people you interviewed.
Thank you.
Each one of them gave us a tiny insight into something else I didn't know. And I just can't wait for us to sign somebody so it can give us some more a direction of where we're going, because we can go so many different ways. You mentioned Muhammad Wilkerson in terms of a sign and trade. That, to me, it's a little hard for me, for the fact that I don't want to trade my future. And it's like twofold. Yeah, it'll make us better now, but it'll also make us better now to the point where we'll be drafting lower. And that's going to hurt us in the long run. And I feel like if we might have like that transition tag with Oliver Vernon,
yeah,
where they maybe make a contract with Miami can't match it. Now, that's more to my liking, so that we can draft a person in the first round to go along with Hankins and Oliver Vernon. But this is just speculation, for the fact nothing's going to come real until we start signing. You keep mentioning the offensive lineman with the Baltimore Ravens. There's a guy out there that I think he's good too, and that's Jeff Allen from the Kansas City Chiefs. And there's another guy that I think we should maybe put out there in terms of safety, that he's not going to cost us a lot of money. He has a few years of free safety. And it's the guy from Cincinnati. George, get ready, Lance. I'm going to butcher the name. George Ikaluku, something like that. 6'4", 224, safety. Those, to me, is something to look into. Thanks for taking my call, guys, and take care.
All right, Orlando, appreciate the phone call. It's interesting because Reggie Nelson is also a free agent in terms of the Bengals secondary. They have a few guys plus Pac-Man Jones. Cincinnati is going to have some interesting decisions to make in addition to, you know, some of the names Orlando threw out. They have some other players. Plus, you have to take into consideration some offensive players, Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu. So very interesting offseason for the Bengals, how they go about their business, because there's a lot of attractive pieces on that team that I think a number of other teams are going to have some interest in.
Believe it or not, I'm hearing there's more of a desire for Marvin Jones than there is for Mohamed Sanu. So I think Marvin Jones is going to be a real hot commodity on the free agent wire in regard to Alshon Jeffrey being tagged. Obviously, he was the sexy wide receiver coming out, but like we said, a lot of those sexy players getting tagged. But I'm hearing that there's going to be a lot of play for Marvin Jones, more so than Mohamed Sanu.
Well, Jones has put up better numbers over the course of his career. And Sanu, you have a little bit more versatility. I mean, that to me is the biggest difference between both of them. Sanu's more of a jack-of-all-trades type of guy. You can run with him. He can throw the football. You can play him out of the slot. Marvin Jones is just your prototypical wide receiver. And when healthy, he's put up really good numbers for the Bengals. The problem with Marvin Jones is he's battled some injuries during the course of his career. That's why A.J. Green really has never had that compliment over the course of his tenure so far with Cincinnati. I think they're both going to get a lot of interest. I could see, though, if you just want a wide receiver, Marvin Jones makes a lot of sense because he fits the profile of we bring him in, we line him up, he could be our number two, and then everything is smooth sailing from that point on. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to some of your tweets along the way in addition to what you have to say on the phone lines here. Let's get to the tweets here. I want to work in some social media chatter. Will at Spain_man_1991. Pass rush is not the only issue for this team. Defense have to cover tight ends too, and the run D struggled as well during the middle of the season. And he's right. I mean, there are other issues other than the pass rush. I agree. In terms of middle of the field coverage, as well as getting those big bodies inside to stop the run. That's why I brought up the defensive tackle spot in particular, because when you think about Cullen Jenkins and Marcus Kuhn are going to hit the market based on the numbers game, you're going to need somebody in addition to a Jay Bromley, in addition to a Jonathan Hankins. If you could bring in somebody who can get to the quarterback, Anita, and also can stuff the run, I think the two-way defensive tackle would be extremely attractive. That's why I threw out Nick Fairley's name, because Nick Fairley's that two-way defensive tackle. He'll give you pressure, but also he'll help stop the run, which is an area that the Giants want to improve in as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's been some knocks on him as well, that he's taken a few plays off. There's some concerns there. But, I look at this defensive line, and I think the big key here is for the Giants to go out. I don't believe that JPP and Robert Ayers wants to go somewhere else. I really don't believe that. So if their heart is to stay here and both stay on the defensive line and continue to be Giants. I wonder, Lance, you know, how much of a hometown discount will they provide or will they allot for the Giants to stay here? This is something I've talked about quite often, and that is, you know, when you look around the NFL, players that have played here for the Giants and have gone somewhere else, not as happy. You know, where you follow the money, but at the same time, once you're gone, you realize how great you had it with this organization. And to me, you have to put a price tag on that. A lot of guys don't, and that's their prerogative, and that's fine. Doesn't make one right, one wrong. But just knowing me and how happy I would like to be in regard to the organization I play for, I would put a price tag on that. So it'll be interesting. You know, does JPP and Robert Ayers, do they follow the money? Do they go with the biggest suitor who's throwing the most money their way? Or do they maybe take just a little bit less money and stay here at home?
Well, and I wonder how the market now is going to change, Anita, on that topic, given the fact that Vernon, potentially Wilkerson, as well as Miller, you at least need to operate that they could very well all be off the board. Well, Miller, we know. He got the exclusive franchise tag.
Right.
Wilkerson and Vernon, there's some wiggle room, but not a great deal of wiggle room. So if those were your top three ranked pass rushers, let's say, for every team heading into free agency, now you're going down to number four and number five on the list just at the beginning of free agency. Four and five now become one and two on your list. I'm wondering, how does that impact JPP and Robert Ayers' stock in the rankings across the NFL landscape? I have a feeling that the two of them in particular are moving up on charts for teams that want a pass rusher. So therefore, maybe going into free agency, and this is just me purely speculating, you say to yourself, yeah, we want to return to the Giants, but now maybe more teams are interested in you given the fact that other guys got the franchise tag. I think you need to at least take that into consideration as well.
Yeah, but also, you know, keep in mind, number one, there's so many question marks about JPP.
Well, not so much with Robert Ayers, though. JPP, you're talking about the hand, but
yeah.
Ayers, I don't think there's question marks from a physical standpoint.
No, there's no question marks about a physical standpoint, but do you really look at Robert Ayers as your top defensive end?
Well, it depends,
once again, what the team needs
and so forth. I wouldn't necessarily put him number one on the list,
but I think people are going to take
into consideration his value and what he's done over the last few seasons.
Yeah, but if you look at what he was able to do last year, you know, six of the 9.5 came when JPP came back.
Well, but if you have another pass rusher
to compliment him with. Exactly. So again, we're in agreement. So Ayers is a number two on a defensive line in regard to a defensive end, but is he going to get paid number one money? There's so much money out there right now
in regard to
free agency. So, you know, but it's really going to be interesting to see what happens. It really is.
Well, and that's why I'm saying number two guys who maybe teams view could get number one money, especially if you feel that we've got our number one pass rusher already on the time. We've got some more wiggle room to spend. We'll bring in a number two because we need that complimentary player. And that's why I'm talking about these guys rising up the rankings as a result of some of the other players taking off the market. I think that at least changes the conversation and so forth.
It does, but it's a discussion that the organization has to have to be in agreement to say, okay, we know what his talent and his ability is, but are we going to overpay for him? I think there will be some organizations that will not want to do that. I'm sure there will be some organizations that will. I would be shocked if all of them want to do that.
Well, all you need in this day and age, you get four or five teams that are interested in you, you can have a bidding war through that. I mean, it's not necessarily you need 32 teams that are interested in you. Let's head back to Twitter here. Ben at Gruen. Ben, Sanu didn't catch a touchdown last season. Why do we assume that he's the answer, perhaps, over Reuben Randall? And Mohamed Sanu did not catch a touchdown. But remember, you know, a lot has to do with the team's scheme and so forth. They had A.J. Green. They had Marvin Jones. They had Tyler Eifert.
Tyler Eifert was such a big part of their offense.
Correct.
And especially in the red zone last year, especially when he was healthy. He really took a lot of that away.
And that's why I think you can look at the numbers, but then you need to go beyond the numbers and realize there's a number of other playmakers on Cincinnati, and that was a big reason why perhaps he didn't get as many targets in the red zone and so forth. Plus, they did run him, and I believe he actually may have scored a touchdown on the ground. I'd have to look at his numbers more carefully, but they did use him in terms of running off of reverses and so forth. So that would be interesting to see how he would be brought into another team and whether or not they would use him in a similar atmosphere and so forth. 201-939-4513. 3. That is the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat. Keep the tweets coming. Keep the phone calls coming as we are discussing the ins and outs of free agency. We want to remind fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Anita Marks, Lance Meadow here with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live, latest edition. We started off the program talking about how the franchise tags will impact perhaps the free agent market, most notably how it will impact Giants players that are set to hit the market. Now, Prince Amukamara, who's another notable free agent, Anita, when you look at the players that were given the tag, we didn't see much activity with respect to corners. There were two, but, you know, perhaps there was room for some more. Josh Norman got the tag from the Carolina Panthers, and then Tremaine Johnson got the tag from the Rams. They had to decide either Johnson or Janoris Jenkins. They went in the direction of Johnson over Jenkins. But Prince, even before the tags came out, you can make the argument he's one of the most attractive corners that's going to be out there on the market, given the fact that there's not a lot of depth and substance at that position this year.
Again, believe it or not, our time out in Indianapolis, the word on the street is that there's not a lot of intrigue with Prince Amukamara, believe it or not. So, you know, I don't think that there is a view that he is one of those legitimate shutdown corners in the NFL. I think he has a price tag that he's hoping that once he hits free agency that he will get. But talk is that more than likely he's going to be pretty disappointed. So, which I found, I'm with you. I would think because there's not a lot of, you know, opportunity for corners. There's not a lot of availability in free agency. I'm with you. I thought for sure that Prince would be a hot commodity, but apparently that is not the case. We found out while we were in Indianapolis.
And then at the safety position, Eric Berry got the tag from the Kansas City Chiefs. So it looks as if Eric Weddle, the Chargers free agent, and Tashaun Gibson from the Cleveland Browns, those are going to be the two safeties in particular that I think are going to start to set the market in free agency at the safety position, and then everybody will follow. Whereas with corner, you know, it depends what happens with Prince. Sean Smith is a name. He's the Chiefs free agent corner. He's a guy that can now set the market with Norman off the board, as well as Johnson. Janoris Jenkins is probably going to be another guy that gets some interest. But you got to elevate now all of a sudden these players. And Weddle is intriguing because he's a veteran. And if you look at the Giants' makeup right now at safety, a veteran would make sense to complement him with Landon Collins, of course.
And also keep in mind, you know, both Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese addressed the media while we were in Indianapolis. And Jerry immediately went to the fact, and I think sometimes Giants fans and people in general, I think we forget all the injuries that this team did have at the safety position. Bennett Jackson, Nat Burhe, both these guys expected to be starters opposite Landon Collins, Thompson as well. So, I mean, there was a lot of injury that took place specifically in the safety position. And again, Jerry Reese addressing the media, there's some big expectations that these three guys are going to come back healthy and ready to compete to try to start opposite Landon Collins.
Well, and piggybacking off of that statement, one of the things that Jerry Reese mentioned, and I brought this up earlier on Monday when I was on with Paul, you know, he said depth is going to be important this offseason. It's not so much the 11 starters, it's the depth. Those players that you just named can contribute to that depth chart. But that's why I go back and I say, while it's exciting to talk about all the household names that are going to be out on the market, you know, players you may have on your fantasy team and you recognize them, I still think getting some of those players that maybe fall under the radar that can be your third or fourth corner, your third or fourth linebacker and so forth are going to be just as important this offseason, specifically for the Giants. Forget the nature of the NFL landscape. In addition to who you may bring in to be a starter in the event that you lose one of your notable free agents. And Jerry Reese emphasized that in his press conference. That was at least something that stuck out to me, the fact that depth, volume, substance, more so than who the first 11 guys that are going to be out on the field are.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, with the track record that the Giants have experienced the past few years, is really a lot of injury at a number of different primary positions. I mean, we're talking about starters. It's another thing. You know, when you look around the landscape of, I know the Ravens had a lot of injuries this past season. There were a number of teams that experienced a lot of injuries this past season. But it's always next man up. It's a lot easier when it's that second tier or third tier guy, next man up, as opposed to a starter, a playmaker, next man up? What are your realistic expectations for that player? So, yes, number one, I think definitely developing that depth across the board is important, but also fingers crossed, you know, you've got a new athletic trainer here. The Giants are always looking to grow and develop and try new things in regard to keeping players healthy. So hopefully this will be a much more healthier year for the Giants, and they won't lose so many primary starters, playmakers on both sides of the ball, that they can compete and be more aggressive.
And that's why I get back to depth. Depth is so important in the event that, God forbid, you do lose a notable starter or many, you know, as we had discussed in previous season. Let's head back to Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Keep sending in the tweets. You can also get us on the phones, 201-939-4513. Freddie at FreddieJ_23. He says he would like the Giants to make a hard run at Janoris Jenkins. In his opinion, he thinks he could be potentially an upgrade over Prince. Jenkins was not given the tag, as I just mentioned. He played with the Rams. They gave it to Tremaine Johnson. The interesting thing about the Rams, when you look at their secondary, Anita, the secondary benefited from, to me, what was one of the most deepest defensive lines in the NFL, specifically last year. Keep in mind, Nick Fairley did not start. Not that starters really make a difference to me in the NFL because guys rotate so much, but Fairley was a backup. Just about any other 31 teams in the NFL, he'd be a every-down starter. So the fact that Fairley was a backup on the Rams last season goes to show you how good that defensive line was, at least in terms of depth and numbers. The secondary, to me, benefited from the play of what at least was hoping to be a good pass rush. The numbers didn't necessarily live up to expectations. If you throw him into a different atmosphere, it'll be interesting to see how Janoris Jenkins evolves as a corner. But he's attractive because he's young. And young guys are important because you want to be able to build this defense up for years to come, Anita, as opposed to, you know, maybe bringing a guy for another year or two. Then you got to worry about turnover all over again. I think they're at the point where they want to start to build a nucleus together that they can grow with over the next few years.
I don't think the Rams want to let Jenkins go. I think they tagged Johnson so they could try to make a deal with Jenkins. I mean, it'd be great if he hits the market. It'd be great if he came to the Giants. But I think the Rams are still going to make a play for him.
Let's go to Frank here at RomoCop74. Anyone wonder if Justin Tuck and OC Umenyor are in JPP and Ayers' ears to think hard before leaving New York? They didn't like it after they left. And that was what you touched on about weighing the atmosphere as opposed to the economics. And JPP's close with a lot of former defensive linemen, so I'm sure he's probably talking to them. I mean, that's speculation. There's nothing hard evidence-wise to prove that, but he does have a relationship with some of the defensive linemen that Frank threw out on Twitter, and I'm sure that's going to be a big factor. Plus, he's been on the record, JPP, saying he would like to stay. I mean, I don't think anybody's making that up and stretching that. The question is, can the economics work, and does perhaps interest from other teams change his thought process? But there is something extremely attractive about New York, about this market, because of opportunities off the field. And that's something I'm sure every player is taking into consideration. For example, we had Justin Tuck on Big Blue Kickoff Live recently, and I had asked him about what New York did for you as a player. Forget the X's and O's. What did the market do? You know, it opened up child literacy for him and so forth, that he works with his wife. And he said the market was big. I mean, he came from down south, a very small area, and he went to the big city. It was an eye-opening experience for him, but economically, it opened up a lot of doors in terms of networking and so forth. So I'm sure JPP is at least looking at it from that perspective as well.
I believe he is, but keep in mind, I mean, this is a young man who, you know, had a contract on the table that he could have signed for multi-million dollars. This is a young man who, at that point in time, before the firecracker incident happened, had been tagged for $14 million. So, you know, this is a young man who, at this point in stage in the game, looking at his career, feels that his value and his worth might be a lot more than what he's made so far. So, you never know what the mindset is. Also, Lance, you don't know what his camp is saying.
Of course.
What his agent is saying. You know, obviously he's hearing a lot of noise from a lot of different places. You hope that he does talk to Justin Tuck. I've had conversations with Justin Tuck. Justin Tuck, again, we know he's going to retire as a Giant and you know, sign that one-hour contract and retire as a Giant. This is his home. I'm sure that if he was to talk to JPP, he'd tell him, listen, wherever else you go, it's not going to be the same as it is here. You hope. I would like to see the Giants sign them both and also go out and test the free agent waters and get somebody like a Malik Jackson in here or, another interesting name. I'm going to throw it out here, and I'm not saying that I want the Giants to go after this guy because I don't like what he does off the field, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Greg Hardy, don't you think?
Well, it looks like the Cowboys aren't going to bring him back.
No.
So he may be out there. He's going to be a name. I just don't know how many teams are going to want to take a chance based on what they've heard and seen in his time in Dallas. I'm sure, though, he's going to be the type of player, to me, Anita, once the first group of names get off the board, we get through free agency, and then you say to yourself, boy, we really need an additional pass rusher. Then I could see maybe some noise starting up with respect to him. I'd be surprised if he's an initial target on the free agent market. I think he may be a fallback option for a few teams if the market in free agency doesn't pan out the way they anticipated.
That's just going to be really interesting to see where he does land. He will land somewhere. It will be interesting to see where he goes.
Well, and his numbers, I mean, what he did with Dallas this past season, he's still a productive pass rusher. So, once again, it's teams weighing X's and O's versus off the field. And what do they prioritize? I mean, that's how you have to look at a player like that. I can say the same thing about Pac-Man Jones. You know, Pac-Man Jones is supposedly getting some interest, but there's also the off-the-field issues that you have to weigh, too.
I don't know. I heard in Cincinnati that he was a leader in that locker room. I was told in Cincinnati that he was a big-time role player and leader and really kind of was the straw that stirred that drink in that Bengals locker room. I heard good things about him.
Well, the Bengals have taken chances on those players, so I think Cincinnati's a good fit because, number one, he's been there for a few seasons, and they've brought in some other players, and they've given them second chances. So I would think Cincinnati would be the number one spot, but if the Bengals are not interested and they want to go a little younger at that position, I mean, Pac-Man Jones is no youngster anymore, then perhaps he's going to have to test the market. And I know from what I've read and heard, there are a few teams that may have some interest in him. He's another player that maybe comes with some red flags and so forth, given his history. But Cincinnati, I agree with you, makes an ideal fit because he's comfortable there and so forth. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter as we continue to monitor your tweets on free agency, where the Giants should go in the first few days of free agency, prioritize some of their own players, how they should go about their business and so forth. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. If you want to get to the phone, you want to weigh in that way. Certainly multiple ways for you to interact with us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Giants.com. Speaking of free agency, important to note, Giants.com in the next coming days is going to launch a special page on the website where you can monitor the entire NFL landscape in terms of free agency. You'll monitor the Giants' own players, where they wind up and who they re-sign. In addition to that, the Giants are putting together the top 50 free agents. There's going to be videos on all of those players. There's going to be statistics. So, I mean, you could go to Giants.com and still monitor everything that's happening across the NFL landscape. It's not just going to be geared and dictated towards Giants players. So check that out. It will be launched in the next few days. You can head to the main page, and you'll have links directed there. And we'll continue to talk about it, obviously, in the upcoming days on Big Blue Kickoff Live. March 7th, which is Monday, is a key date. That's when you could start talking to free agents. Then March 9th, 4 p.m. Eastern, is when you could start officially signing contracts.
And I wonder, like, on March 8th, you know, are we going to be hearing, you know, is the Adam Schefters of the world and the Jay Glazers of the world, are they going to be, like, breaking news in regard to what teams are talking to JPP and what teams are talking to Robert Ayers? I'm curious. You know, I would imagine we will, because agents like to kind of feed that information
use
and get other
teams
and use it for leverage. So Monday and Tuesday is going to be fun, I think.
Well, I remember last year's free agency period, or the official start of the league year, because you can make trades, and it must have been within the first 5 minutes after 4 p.m. Eastern. We had
You're
all
talking
those
about
trades.
The 9th.
The 9th, which is the first day when things can officially be announced. But clearly, the trades were being discussed in the days prior to that. Mm-hmm. They're not going to all of a sudden finalize it within 5 minutes. So it was interesting how there was a flurry of movement. Jimmy Graham, remember, was moved. You had the Sam Bradford-Nick Foles trade. Who knows? Are we going to get that type of movement? Are we going to get some trades? Remember, we're so focused on free agency, Anita. Maybe there's some wheeling and dealing with some pending free agents in a side and trade, or guys that are currently on rosters, too. You can't cancel that out.
What I mean, I would imagine we would, because, look, you've got that Monday and Tuesday to work it out. You know, you get that Monday and Tuesday to work it out. So as soon as that hour, that minute strikes where the new year starts for the NFL, deal's done. you know, you've got those 2 days to work your magic.
Absolutely. That's why I'm very interested to see who sets the tone early in free agency and so forth. And, you know, one of the positions that we didn't address when we talked about the franchise tags, you did bring up Kirk Cousins earlier. In terms of the NFC East quarterback position, looks like we're set in this division. And we thought maybe we'd have some question marks entering free agency. We know the Giants are set with Eli. The Cowboys, assuming he's healthy, Tony Romo's back under center. They may address the backup position. And Kirk Cousins and Sam Bradford. Bradford just got a 2-year deal, and Cousins got the franchise tag. Unlikely somebody's going to give up 2 first-round picks for him. So we pretty much know the 4 quarterbacks that are going to be competing in this division next season.
We do, and believe it or not, out of the 4, I probably have more concern for Tony Romo than any of them. Because, you know, this is a guy that, as we know, he's not been able to stay healthy. Now there's talk that they're going to put in some kind of plate. He's considering.
He's getting a new procedure.
A new procedure where they're going to put in some kind of, like, metal plate that will help protect his collarbone so he doesn't break it again. But, you know, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I think you need to focus on the quarterback position because out of the guys that are there, the one that I'm most concerned about is Tony Romo staying healthy. And if he goes down, you know, you got so much talent at so many other positions. You want a quarterback who's going to be able to step in and win a majority of the games that Tony Romo is going to be out. So what do? They address free agency? Do they bring in an RG3? That could be interesting.
Do they draft somebody? Yeah.
You know, or do they draft somebody? Exactly. You know, there's in regard to the talk of some of the quarterbacks, the 3 quarterbacks that a lot of people think will go in the first round, the Wentz, obviously, the Goff, obviously. There's talk that Paxton Lynch might go in the first round, and the Dallas Cowboys are one of those teams that are kind of thrown in that mix, along with the Rams. San Francisco, now question marks about Colin Kaepernick and his camp allegedly claiming that he wants a trade and he wants out. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But I think out of all those teams, I think the Dallas Cowboys, they need to bring in that backup quarterback that can come in and win the majority of the games that Tony Romo potentially could be out, because you got to expect he's going to go out with an injury. It's become the way of the world with him.
Durability has been a question mark. I also would not cancel out perhaps them actually bringing Matt Cassel back, given the fact that, remember, he joined the team mid-year. With a full offseason, they may look at it. He has more time to adjust to the offense and so forth. So they may just bring back the veteran and have him be the security blanket with maybe more comfort on offense. That could be a possibility as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, are you confident? Are you confident that Matt Cassel could win football games for you? I'm not.
Well, based on what happened last season, but I think a lot of people would say he also, despite his veteran presence, did not have a lot of time to learn an offense. Much different when you're thrown into the fire, even if you're a veteran mid-season, as opposed to having a full training camp and spring workout. So they may go in that direction depending on what happens in free agency in the draft. I wouldn't rule that out, I guess is what I'm saying. That's certainly a possibility. Let's head back to Twitter here, hashtag Giants Chat. At NRocky922, go NYG, Big Blue. What 2 positions did the Giants pay the most money for? Defensive end, defensive tackle, linebacker, safety, or right tackle. So putting on your GM cap, he's asking, if you had the decision-making power, what would be the 2 positions that you would spend the most money on? I would say safety would be one that I'd be willing to make a splash, a veteran safety to complement Landon Collins. The other position that I would splash would be either defensive end or defensive tackle. The defensive tackle, though, to me, has to be a 2-way defensive tackle, as I mentioned. I want a track record of getting to the quarterback as well as stuffing the run. If you can't find that on the market, then I would go for the edge pass rusher. Those would be the 2 positions that I would be willing to spend a little extra to solidify those spots.
Interesting. It's an interesting question. I don't think teams are going to have to spend a lot of money at the safety position this year. I think defensive end, right off the bat, that's the no-brainer. When you talk to general managers in regard to, like, where teams spend their money, it's defensive end, it's left tackle, it's a shutdown corner, and it's your quarterback. Those are your 4 top positions where you spend the most money. And again, not sure exactly if Prince Amukamara is going to be back. Corner, I know corner's not on there, but corner could be another position. There's a corner that they feel could step in and maybe produce better than Prince did. But I'm with you. If we're looking at these positions, I'm looking at defensive end and defensive tackle. Linebacker position is interesting as well. You know, I'm a big Devon Kennard fan. I really remember last year we were talking about who are the players heading into the season do we want to see really step up? Reuben Randle was one. Damontre Moore was another. Right now, Damontre Moore is not on this team, and Reuben Randle, free agent, was not tagged. Chances are he's not going to be back on this team either. Going into this season, you're going to ask me the same question. Who on this team that was on this roster last year that I'm expecting bigger and better from? Hands down, Devon Kennard. I think Devon Kennard has such potential. This is a year I want to see him stay healthy and progress and be that force, be that extension for Spags on the defense because he's so talented. There's so many ways that Spags could utilize him, but he's got to stay healthy and he's got to take that next step up.
Well, health, you hit it right on the nose to me, Anita. You know, it's not so much what he can do from an X's and O's standpoint. I think there's been flashes of that. The question is, can Devon Kennard stay healthy where he's durable over a 16-game stretch? That's obviously the big thing here. One other tweet I want to throw out here before we wrap up the program. I certainly appreciate everybody chiming in on the phones as well as social media. At Nick for Life, Eric Waiters says, we aren't the only team with cap money. Giants fans, one team has an upward of $70 million, and they have to want to come here. So he's looking at it from a free agent perspective that, yes, there are a number of other teams that are going to have flexibility in cap space. I think that's important to note. And remember, you know, it's a two-way stream with free agency because a lot of people have brought up the fact, you know, will the Giants maybe re-sign some of their players before the official free agency period starts, and maybe why hasn't there been more chatter on that front? You have to understand it, and this goes back to what we were discussing with JPP. Sometimes the team wants the player back, and sometimes the player also wants to return, but at the same time, the agent who you have in your ear as a player is saying, that's good that the team wants us back. We also should test the market. We want to see what else economically we can pursue. So it's not so much that both sides don't want to get a deal done. There usually is mutual interest. The problem is sometimes the agent and other people within that player's party want them to test the market and so forth. So, you know, you got to look at it from a different perspective. There's two-way streams here. There's two angles. It's not so simple where it's just the player holding back or the team holding back. There are a lot of other parties associated with that player.
And keep in mind, I mean, for the agent, he makes more money if the player takes
higher percentage.
Yeah, he makes more money if he takes the highest deal that's on the table for him. But sometimes, you know, you do have some agents that are out there that, you know, they value their client and they know what's best for their client, and maybe not taking the highest deal would benefit their client more based on the team, the organization, the scheme, the defense the player will be playing in, and a number of things. So, you know, you hope the agent has the player's interest at heart more so than his bottom line at the end of the day.
With that being said, that will wrap things up for us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Appreciate, once again, all the phone calls, all the tweets. We'll be talking about free agency the rest of the week, setting the tone for what should be an exciting period early next week. And Joel Corey, former sports agent, also analyzes the NFL for CBS Sports. He'll be joining us on tomorrow's program as we get going right here at noon Eastern. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
He's got through. 35-30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!